Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. You know, a couple weeks ago we talked about the covenant, and last week we was talking about faith. And I guess if you want to put a title on today's message, it's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to run from God, because God sees us no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing. God sees us, and there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to run for America and our disobedience to God and following His Word. There's nowhere to go to run and hide from Him. There's nowhere in the world that anyone can go to get away from the sight of God, because He sees us no matter where we think we have hidden ourselves, no matter how deep that we have got down in sin. God can still see us where we're at. And then we're going to see a great prophet here, Elijah, just come off a tremendous victory at Mount Carmel, was there, and he challenged the prophets of Baal, 450, to a contest, and they offered their sacrifice, and they prayed, and there the prophets of Baal, they just prayed all day and never got no results. They danced upon the altar and cut their sails and just pitched them a fit, but their God never heard. And then Elijah, he was over there kind of mocking them and making fun of them and saying, you know, maybe he's on a journey or maybe he's asleep. And, you know, I thank God my God never sleeps. He's always vigilant and looking on all the situations. Now, and here, Elijah should have been, boy, he should have had the backbone then to just laid into anything and not got afraid. Because here he took those 450, not only after he had beat them in the little challenge that he put out there as they poured them 12 buckets of water, barrels of water on the sacrifice, and he prayed a 63-word prayer. Fire came down from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, the stones, and licked up the dust of the ground. Let me tell you, God answered in a big way. And Elijah should have knew he had a big God, not get worried. But he lets one little woman put him to flight. It only takes one little sin to put us to flight. It only takes being afraid of one little thing in this world that'll cause us not to do what God's got intended for us to do if we're not careful. Now we get to chapter 19, and they got through praying there and on the sacrifice. Now remember, they're in a drought time. It hadn't rained. And here he's up on the mountain there, and he's got his servant there with him. He said, I'm going to pray. And so he starts praying. He said, go look yonder and see if there's any signs of any rain coming. They went and looked. Ain't nothing. Went back again, prayed, and he said, go see. Ain't nothing. Went back again, prayed, and he said, what? He said, do you see anything? He said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. He said, let's get down from here because it's going to pour. So he outrun the chariots and back to town and got in where it was dry because he knew God was going to deliver. It was funny, Cassandra asked a few weeks ago, praying about a job. And she said, you know, whatever God's will be, boom, 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 she's got a job. She starts on the 30th. Josh told her, says, if you go to church and pray for rain, you better take your umbrella. Now, that's what you call faith. Now, we don't have things like that because we don't have faith. When God answers and it's in God's will, sometimes it's boom, 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 and it just blows your mind how quick God can put you in a circumstance and take you where He is wanting you to be. But we see here that Elijah's going to forget that for just a few moments of time. He's going to get worried because of one woman. And we see in chapter 19, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. God ain't helping go out and kill nobody because they don't believe the way I do, or because they're false believers. But we can kill them with the Word of God. Because the Word of God is enough that can divide right from wrong if we'll just follow it. It can break up a stony heart that's so hard that you couldn't penetrate it with anything, but the Word of God can get in there and break it up. And God's Spirit moving. And we see in verse 2 it says, then Jezebel sent a messenger into Elijah saying, so let the gods, you notice that's a little G-O-D, that's the one she was serving. Let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She's saying, Elijah, if I don't have you killed by tomorrow this time, let the gods kill me. Now I thank God that I don't have to worry about the gods and pleasing them. I've got one God I've got to worry about pleasing. You can't please everybody. And if you had a number of gods you think you could please them, I thank God that we've got one God. A living God, a true God, a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of all seeing and all knowing. But Elijah got afraid because he took his eyes off God for just a few moments. Sounds like all of us. Sounds like Peter when he got out of the boat. He was doing good and he took his eyes off Jesus. We'll do good until we take our eyes off Jesus and then we'll start to sing. And when he saw that he arose and went for his life, he was afraid and came to Beersheba. which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. Now let me tell you, I know I've seen people that get in this walk of life and maybe in ministry, and whenever things get to going rough, what's the first thing they do? They run off and leave those that they're supposed to be helping and those that they're supposed to be directing their path, and they leave them behind and they go on their own way. Oh, they don't pay enough. Oh, they're not praying enough. Oh, they don't like me anymore. God said, just preach the word. I was worried at one time about making people mad with the Word of God when I first started preaching and studying and seeing things that people were doing. But then there was an old preacher told me, said, son, if you make them mad, you make them think. And if the Word of God gets on us and makes us a little upset, maybe we just need to straighten up. Maybe we just need to follow the Word of God, not worry about getting mad and getting our feelings hurt, because God loves us. If it takes hurting our feelings to get us to serve Him, He'll let our feelings get hurt that we'll serve Him. But here we see Elijah. He went and he left his servants there. And it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Are we on a run into the wilderness trying to hide from God and what He's got intended for our life to be? Oh, I can't witness to that person. Have you tried? Has God nudged your heart? Has there been opportunity? Have you opened your mouth and spoke the Word of God to them? Have you invited them to church? Have you took time to care about somebody else besides yourself? Elijah done a great thing. He done exactly what God told him to, but then he got concerned about himself. When we get self before God in service to God, then we're going to go into the wilderness. We're going to struggle and we're going to wander. We're going to be alone out there in the wilderness because we've left God. And it came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested him for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Oh, he's having him a pity party. When you stand for God and somebody comes up against you, what's the first thing you do? Do you say thank God for the persecution, or do you run and have your little pity party? Lord, oh, this is just too hard. I can't stand on your word because they don't like me. He said it wasn't a popularity contest. He said, preach the word. They didn't like Paul. They stoned him. They killed the disciples because they were following Jesus, because they were trying to do what he told them to do. We've never been faced with that. But here he is, sat down under the juniper tree, wanting to die, having his pity party and feeling sorry for himself. Satan having a heyday, because that's what he wants us to do. When things get hard and we sit down and have a pity party, oh, things are just so hard. Oh, that preacher, he didn't shake my hand. Oh, he wore that tie about a month ago and I don't like it. I don't remember what I wear. I couldn't tell you what I wore last week. I just know I hang my suits in a row, and whenever the one's on this end, I know I wore that in last, and I go over here and get the next and keep rotating them. You think that's funny? I have to do that so I keep them separated so I don't wear the same thing over and over again. Rotate them right through the line. And I don't know what tie goes with what, so most time Xander has to tell me, so I get the right one to go with the right suit. I think black tie go with everything, but she says I got more than a black tie. But anyway. And we see in verse 5, it says, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Now God saw him in his desperation. God saw him down there having his little pity party and feeling sorry for himself and being out in the wilderness, because that's where he chose to go. He chose to go out there. And God saw him, and he's going to minister to him, to encourage him. You see, that's what we need to do as Christians when we see someone that has gone out into the wilderness, who has left their responsibility. We need to minister to them that they might come back and do the job that God is wanting them to do. Because God's going to use each and every one of us for something. He didn't save you to be a knot on a log. He don't need that. He don't need you to be a rock in the parking lot, because, matter of fact, He said, if you hold your peace, that the rocks will even cry out. I don't want no stones crying for me. I got a mouth, and it's growing, it's getting bigger, and I can use it more and more. And I thank God for that, because He made me who I am. He's given me this voice to use, and I want to use it for Him. But he said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a curse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. He must have been tired. He just woke up, ate and drunk him something, went back to sleep. Needed some rest. Every once in a while we need to rest. Done a wedding yesterday. And it must have wore me out, because when we got home, I laid down in the recliner. Sandra went and laid down on the couch. And 2 hours later, we woke up. That wedding wore me out yesterday. And I didn't even have to worry about getting married again. I was marrying them. They're the ones going to have to live with it. But they started their lives together, and it was a blessing. Wasn't quite as nervous as Lucas was. He didn't sit there and twist his ring until he about cut his finger off. He said he still got a little bit of a scratch right there where he was doing that. Bless his heart. Y'all pray for Jessica. I think she's going to need the help. But he laid down again and went back to sleep. He needed some rest. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." We've got a journey that God has planned for us. And it's a great journey. But it's too much for us on our own. It's too much for us to accomplish on our own. It has to be from God. And He has to give us the meat for this journey that we're in, that we can go forward in the strength of God. And we have too long stayed on the milk of the Word of God, as it talks about in the New Testament when he's talking to many of the new Christians. We're on the milk. But we need to get on to the meat. If you notice, first he had water and bread. And then he told him to rise and eat again because the journey was too great for him. We need to rise and eat on the Word of God daily, that we may go out in the strength of God, that we can face this journey that's before us. Now, everybody's journey is not the same. Some are similar, but they're not the same, because God's got a different purpose. Though in the great picture of things, it's all the same purpose, but it's different people that we're going to reach, that we're going to see, that the other ones may not see. And there's a great big world out there that needs to hear about Jesus. Now, Elijah here, like I said, he got afraid because Jezebel made a death threat. I'm glad there's no power that death has on me. Don't threaten me with heaven, because I'm ready to go. Ready to go. He said, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Must have been a pretty good meat that he ate, the meat of God. He said he was able to go in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. You know what the number 40 in the Bible means? Judgment. A time of discerning and a time of getting closer to God and a time of judgment that comes. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. Remember, and Jesus went out into the wilderness and was tempted being there. The number 40's got a significance God uses, and He shows us these things. But He went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and nights into the Mount of God. And He came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, "What dost thou here, Elijah?" Has God ever had to say that to you? What are you doing? What are you sitting back for and waiting on somebody else? I gave you a task. I expect you to do it. On your jobs that you work, when the boss says do this, what do you have to do? You do that. If you don't do that, pretty soon you won't have nobody telling you what to do, because you won't be there any longer. You'll be looking for something to do. But God's not that way. But he wanted to question him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He remembered, Elijah did, "Well, Lord, you know, I don't know about this thing, and I'm following you and all these miracles that you've done, and I know that was a great thing over there, but she said she's going to kill me." That had been going through my mind if I'd done like Elijah did. He said, and he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts and for the children of Israel, having forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Listen, you're not the only one in this thing. You think you're the only Christian that's had troubles? No. We all have. God never promised us it'd be easy. He said, "But I'll be with you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth." Thank God we don't go through this alone. We've got brothers and sisters, and don't be too proud to lean on one of them. We're to be each other's strength. Elijah needed somebody to be his strength. Elijah needed to think, maybe go to his servants and say, "I need y'all to pray for me. I'm kind of worried about this situation, but I need you to help me." Maybe they could have given him some encouragement, but we know that God had a greater lesson in store for him. He knew that Elijah was going to run. He knew where to find him. He knew where he was going. He knew where he was going to talk to him at. He knew what Elijah's response was going to be. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. Boy, that's a good thing. He's still passing by. He's still passing by. He passed by me and he saved me. When I couldn't see, he passed by me and touched my eyes and gave me back my vision. When I had broke bones, he's touched them and healed them. When I've had the flu, he's reached down and touched me. I mean, he's still passing by. He's still providing miracles. Just reach out for the hem of his garment. Just reach out. Reach out. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains. Now, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes up here when the wind gets to blowing in the wintertime and ain't no leaves to slow it down, and that wind's a-gusting and a-blowing, and it just sounds like it's tearing up the world outside, and you're worried about the trees a-falling on your house, and you think, oh, it's just a terrible thing. Can you imagine what this wind was? That it rent the mountain. And break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. That's a strong and mighty wind. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Boy, we've seen all these things happening, haven't we? We see California shaking, burning up. We see out west it's a flooding now, and it was burning up, and all these other things going on, and all the things that's happening, just terrible things that's taking place. We've had rain this year like we've never had before, and the things going on, and God's not in all those things. He's trying to get our attention just like he was Elijah here. He's showing him all the power in the universe and what it can do. But yet, it's not in those things that he's wanting to get his attention with. And it said, and after the fire, a still small voice. There was nowhere to run to for Elijah. God knew where he is at. He saw him when he went today's journey into the wilderness. He fed him there and prepared him for his journey. It was too great for him, but it was nowhere to run to because God knew where Elijah was at. He knew what he needed to encourage him to go on his journey that he still had before him. He knew Elijah's heart. He was afraid. Said he was jealous because they had left the Lord. There's so many pagan practices came into their following God that should have been following God the Father, that they implemented by letting others come in. And they had left all these things, and Elijah was using that excuse that's why he was where he was at. But when he heard the small, still voice, he come back to a realization of what really was going on. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. He wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here, Elijah? The journey's too great for us, and there's nowhere for us to run, nowhere to hide from God. If he's asked us to do something, he expects us to do it. He expects us to be obedient because we're his children. He bought us with his blood. He paid our sin debt, but he doesn't hold it against us if we don't. But we don't reap the benefits that God has in store for us by being disobedient. Can you imagine what it must be in heaven? How many blessings are stored up that could be ours because of disobedience? How many more miracles that Elijah might have done? How much more preaching he might have accomplished, but he got scared and run. Got scared and run. But God knew right where he's at. No place to run to. God knew right where he's at. He knows right where you're at in your life and your walk with God. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel has forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphath of Abam. Boy, they should have named these places a little easier. I tell you, Abimeloth. shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elijah slay. Yet, now listen to this, when you think you're all alone, and you think you're the only one that's trying, and you're the only one that's committed to God, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. You're not the only one going through this. You're not the only one going to have hard times. You're not the only one that Satan's going to attack. He attacks us all. But what we need to know as Christians is where Satan's going to attack our weakness, because he's not going to attack your strength. He's going to find a place of weakness, and he's going to hit you there. And he's going to attack you there. And if you know that point of weakness, you can ask God to shore up your defenses and claim it in the name of Jesus and tell Satan he has to flee. You don't have to stand and fight him, because Jesus is already victorious. It says in verse 19, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphath, which was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, just like God told him he was going to do. He was going to go out and he was going to find Elisha. Elisha was going to replace Elijah. Elisha ended up doing twice as many miracles as Elijah because he asked for a double portion. He walked with him. He saw his testimony. He saw what Elijah done for God, and he wanted to do twice as much. I hope that some of us here today have a conviction that we want to be able to do twice as much as what we've been doing for God. That we want to do twice as much witnessing. We want to do twice as much soul winning. That we want to do twice as much singing. We want to do twice as much teaching. We want to do twice as much studying. That God can grow us into great Christians. Because there's nowhere to run to. There's nowhere to hide. And I was thinking about running. You know, we run for exercise. I would have to run from a bear if it was after me, because I'm not going to run far. And I'll give up. Now, Justin, on the other hand, he's a runner. He can run. They done their PT the other day, and they had to run a half mile. They got 6 minutes. I might get it done in 6 minutes for a half mile. But he took off, and in 2 minutes and 20 seconds, he crossed the finish line, and they said, we're going to put a plaque up with your time on it. He says, don't make it yet. I don't plan on that being my best. Now, we can apply that to a lot of things. He may have been joking. I'm not sure. Can't ever tell about him sometimes. But do we want being saved just to be our best? I mean, God done the saving. Thank God we are. Amen. But do we want to be that all that we possess? Or do we want to be a great Christian for God? Amen. Or do we just want to be ho-hum? Well, I'm in. That's all I worry about. I don't want to get no closer. Don't want to know no more. I just want to know I'm in. I just want to know I'm in. I think God wants us to be more than just in. I think He wants us to study His Word. There's nowhere to run to. He sees us wherever we go. Wherever we think we have hid, God sees. Nowhere to run. Nowhere to run. If you're running, return to Him. Maybe you're sitting under that juniper tree. Maybe God sent the angel and already prepared you the bread and the water. Maybe He's already given you the meat for the journey. Maybe you're to the point where you're hearing the small, still voice. And He's saying, go. Go. Be obedient to me. Go and be obedient to me. I'll take care of what needs to be done if you'll be obedient to me. This morning you may be here. You may be lost. You're on your own journey away. It's away from God. It's a journey that will take you to hell if you don't ask Jesus to save you. Well, preacher, that's scary. It is scary to think that you have a choice, but you continue down that path of lost, being lost, and will die and go to hell. God sent His Son Jesus that you don't have to make that choice. You may be running. There's nowhere to run to. Because if you could get a glimpse of hell, you'd run in the other direction. If you could get a glimpse of Satan and the smile on his face. Now, I'm not talking about somebody with pointed horns and a pitchfork and a long tail and him red. That's not Satan. That's not Satan. That's what people have made Satan out to be. But he's an angel of light. And the smirk that'll be on his face is those that are cast into hell, thinking he's got a few that God didn't get. I hope and pray you never see that face. That face of Satan. Surrender to Jesus this morning. There's nowhere to run to. Just turn and come to Him. Just come and turn to Him. You don't have to be an orphan. He don't want you to be. He wants to adopt you into the family of God. And more than someone rescued me, Jesus rescued me. Jesus signed my pardon. Jesus set me free. Will you accept Him and be set free this morning? There's nowhere to run to but turn and come to Him. He's got His arms outstretched. He wants to welcome you into His family. Will you come? As I get a song prepared of invitation this morning, as we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, will you surrender?